This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is a Joy 94.9 podcast presented by Paul Anthony with the assistance of the Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officers, Victoria Police, Crime Stoppers and Joy 94.9 working together to make our community safe.
Love your afternoons on Joy 94.9.
Yes, loving your afternoons. Paul Anthony with you. And in the studio with me, Gabby Tyack and Scott Davis. One thing I have discovered, you guys are police.
What gave that away?
Policeman and policewoman. When earlier you said travelling in a southerly direction.
And that was written down. Isn't that terrible? Yeah. And I was trying to avoid it.
That's right. You're not only police, but you're full-time gay and lesbian liaison officers.
Correct. Our full-time work is working for Victoria Police, and it's to enhance Victoria Police's knowledge of the gay and lesbian community, and it's also enhance the gay and lesbian community's knowledge of Victoria Police.
But it's good to know that there is actually people full-time in this position and not when you get a chance to do something.
That's right. And can I say that Victoria is certainly leading the pack throughout Australia and through most parts of the world. Victoria is the only state that has got anyone full-time dedicated to gay and lesbian liaison that are operational police. Oh, no, I stand corrected. Queensland now has one. New South Wales has an unsworn, which is like a public servant who manages their gay and lesbian liaison office. And they have a number of gay and lesbian liaison officers, but none of them are full-time. In Queensland, they've now got a state coordinator for gay and lesbian liaison who was appointed earlier this year, and that's a full-time basis. But other than that...
Okay, gay and lesbian liaison officer is?
As you were talking about, I'm full-time assisting 17 police stations, so my role is to get out into the gay and lesbian community, transsexual, transgender, and promote Victoria Police as an organisation that will take homophobic crimes seriously and assist in reporting of those crimes and also educating police as to how to deal with the special needs of the gay and lesbian community.
When is the Victoria Police going to give you more resources? Because that must be a huge job.
I can't answer that.
Okay, I'm asking the Victoria Police, when are you going to give us some more resources? When are you going to help out Gabby and Scott? Questions that have come in for Scott Davis. Are all members of the GLOW office at Victoria Police gay? That is an interesting question. Are they gay? Do they need to be gay?
The requirement for the position is that they are the best person for the job. Now, whether that's a gay person or a straight person, it's irrelevant in my view, as long as they are the best person for the job in that particular instance.
For the job. My assumption, the gay and lesbian liaison officers, that they were all gay because they would be sympathetic to the situation. So you have someone come along who's in sort of gay crime, wants to talk to a policewoman or policeman, and then they find out that they're not gay.
Mm.
Does that deter anybody?
We're never up front. We don't say whether we're gay or straight because I think it's irrelevant to the position.
Yeah.
If somebody asks, then I'm always open to say that I'm a heterosexual. I'll out myself on radio right
now. Say that again.
I'm a heterosexual. Yeah, I'm straight. I'm quite happy to say that. I've been doing this role since 2003, and I consider myself to be a part of the gay and lesbian community, an ally of the gay and lesbian community, and I think allies are just as important as gay and lesbian people out there advocating for the community. We'd be upfront with a person if they were a victim of crime coming forward. We're not going to be able to ensure that there's a gay or lesbian police officer is able to assist them because we just don't have the resources to be able to do that. And it's certainly not a requirement that when you join Victoria Police, you disclose your sexual orientation or gender identity.
Mm.
You know, it's not something that we're going to know about people unless they've disclosed it.
I think it's a good thing in the sense that there's more straight coppers doing stuff like this than hopefully some of the other straight coppers will think.
Yeah. Look, when I came into this role, as I was in Gabby's role as the Region 1 Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officer, and Melinda Edwards was doing my job at the time, and she actually said to me that the thing that I wanted most when we started Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officers was to have a 6'3" heterosexual male performing the role of a GLOW, because that means that we've come so far. And that's me. 6'3" heterosexual male.
And it works.
But you're not that scary, Scott. I mean, you had me fooled. This is my question. You arrest somebody and they've been either convicted of the crime or they've been released back out on bail, back on the street again. What's the process on keeping tabs on where these people are, or tabs on after crime's been committed, or even so, the victims? Do you ring them up each week to see how they're doing? I mean, how does it work?
Well, we follow the victim's charter, and every time anything happens within a case, new dates at court or outcomes at court, we update the victims and the witness. So we actually contact the victim and the witnesses.
Unless the victim chooses not to. One of the things that we do now under the Victims' Charter, which came in, I think, in 2007, there's a requirement for us to ask if they want to be updated and how often they would like to be updated. So if they choose not to be updated, we have a tick box to be able to say they don't want to be updated at all. And some people feel that way.
Give me an example of a case.
Something that's been quite relevant in the gay and lesbian community is in relation to Michael Neal, who was charged with about 34 offences in relation to intentionally infecting people with HIV, attempt to infect with HIV, rape, and a number of other offences. And it was a really long ongoing trial.
So the trial's finished?
The trial has finished. He was guilty.
Which is why we can now talk about it.
We can talk about it, that's right. He's up for pre-sentence hearing. That gives an opportunity for the prosecutors and for the defence counsel to talk about what would be an appropriate sentence and then for the judge to make a decision from there. Now, it may be a case that the judge decides what the punishment will be, or it may be a case that the judge will defer off and adjourn the case until later on, maybe next year, before making a sentence.
So when you adjourn for another year, does that person who's been now convicted, do they just stay in jail, do they?
If it's been determined that they'll get a custodial sentence, then they'll remain. The judge, of course, would be taking all of this into account as to what the likely sentence will be. And so they'll take consideration now.
So why does it take so long?
It's a long process. There's a number of steps that need to go through. We've got the investigation, then we've got a committal hearing. So for these charges, they're quite serious charges. So it requires us to go to the magistrate's court to prove that there's enough evidence to go to trial.
It would have to be really hard for the victims, because a victim may just have got over it. Then a year later, they're going to go through the whole thing again.
That's exactly right. And that was why the Victims' Charter was introduced. So within the Victims' Charter, it wasn't just police that are affected here. It's the courts and it's also Department of Justice. And they've set up a Victims' Assistance Counselling Program. Victims can be referred off for free counselling as a result of any sort of crime that occurs in Victoria, or crime against the person, I should say, not a crime against property. So they can access counselling and they can access ongoing support from the Victims of Crime Assistance Program. And that's spread throughout the state and it's managed by the Department of Justice. And there's certainly requirements on Victoria Police. So we do need to keep our victims updated and we need to let them know outcomes of court hearings where they want to know about it.
And Paul, there's nothing to stop a victim or a witness of a crime to get in contact with the police officer in charge of that investigation to get an update if they haven't heard from them in a while.
And I suppose we have to acknowledge here that some people really want to know every little in and out, and sometimes that's very difficult for police to be able to manage. So every time we make a little bit of headway with an investigation, it can be very difficult for us to keep people updated. So sometimes we just choose
an
important time to update people. So it might be a case that we've now made an arrest. We might have identified them a couple of months ago, but it's taken us a bit of time to be able to confirm that and then make the arrest.
I guess a lot of the stuff would be quite sensitive as well, because I was thinking, just put it on the website, people would just check the website.
That's right. We also run the risk then of letting other co-offenders know that this investigation is going on, so we have to be very careful about how we do our investigations and what we let people know.
If there's any questions you'd like to ask throughout each week, 0427-JOY-949 or on air at joy.org.au. See you next week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If you have any knowledge concerning any crime, call Crime Stoppers on 1800 333 000 or visit crimestoppers.com.au. If it's an emergency, always call 000.
The Victoria Police GLOWS, Crime Stoppers and Joy 94.9, working together to help make our community safe.
The most livable city. The most lovable radio. Joy 94.9.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.